Kyle, this is the time of year when you sort of look back at 2024 and you look ahead at 2025 and everybody makes projections. And, you know, you try to plan ahead for the stock market, for the bond market, for your financials and your investments. But this time, I think it's tougher than it has been in a long time. It's murky out there, especially after the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meeting and that news conference. Eric Kelly is charged with this. He's the chief investment officer for UM Bank and the private wealth management, and he is forced to look ahead, and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Good morning. Good to see you. Glad to be here.
Well, actually, you can look behind if you want to. We can, because it was a good year. I mean, at least we've got, you know, we've got a little money in the bank going forward.
Absolutely. An incredible year in 2024 on the heels of 2023. Amazing year. I've been telling folks for the last 6 months, I spent a lot of time in rotation talking to board members and friends and clients of our organization, and it's one of those interesting times that you were hinting at. One of those times where it's never been so prosperous, where people are simultaneously so, I would say, cautious or apprehensive.
But see, that's anxiety. They say bull markets climb a wall of worry, which I think is just great. And boy, I tell you, did they escalate the worries after that Fed meeting. I mean, I don't think it was a big surprise that they might take a little pause in cutting interest rates. But the fact is, there's an argument to not cut interest rates. So suddenly, what do you do with money now going into 2025? It's not going to help the stock market. The bond market obviously is not the place to be if they're going to be raising interest rates or not cutting them.
It's a fair enough question. After such spectacular gains that we've experienced, you have to take a step back and be prepared for turbulence coming your way. That's the camp we're in. And inside our organization, we've been talking about it for 9 months. When the markets run this hard for this long, you have to understand there's a period of volatility probably coming your way. And then we head into 2025 with, as you said, murky conditions out there in the economy. We have a whole new administration coming our way. We cannot be certain about how some of the political things are going to play out. And when you add uncertainty to what you might say fully valued or elevated values in the markets, and you add uncertainty into that, you are headed for volatility. And we just got I put out a memo this morning to my people. We got a nice reminder yesterday of how this works. When it's been just unbelievably profitable, and then you start to inject higher levels of uncertainty into sort of fully valued markets, volatility is the result. And yesterday we got a very good reminder of it. They changed the message a little bit. They came out. Some people were saying it was a hawkish cut, or they certainly became less dovish yesterday. The rates are going to keep going down, but they're definitely saying at a slower pace, and we'll have to see. I think that's what was embedded in there. We're going to have to see how next year unfolds. And just the addition of that uncertainty unleashed the volatility we saw, and that's a natural consequence of powerful, powerful stock market returns and an increase of uncertainty.
But again, it really begs the question, is what do you do with money right now? Do you sit tight with what you've got? A lot of times, you know, people diversify. Say, well, you know, go international. My gosh, 80% of the stuff you use is probably international anyway. But my goodness, you know, the government in France is falling apart. Germany's in bad shape. The UK still can't recover. Even South Korea, which just came out of the blue. And that's not a place to be.
Yep. Syria. There's a whole bunch of geopolitical.
I didn't put a lot of money in Syria already, but
yeah, you didn't put a bunch of dollars there. No, it's I can tell you exactly what we're telling our folks. We know that uncertainty is probably going to be elevated next year. We know it's been an unbelievably profitable run in the markets, but we don't want to run for the hills unless we have a fairly high conviction that we might be heading for like a serious recession. Serious recession is not on our radar screen, but we do think an increase in volatility is definitely on our radar screen. So what we're counseling our folks to do is revisit your financial plan, make sure you're absolutely rock solid with what your target allocation is. You know, if you believe that you should be 70-30 or 60-40 or whatever that is, based on your long-term goals, make sure you're at that target and not overweight equities, because markets are up 50% plus over the last couple of years, and there's folks that have drifted way above their equity, their normal equity exposure. So revisit that. Make sure you're not overweight your comfort level on equities. be neutral. That's where we are. We're making sure that we're staying neutral on our equity exposure. We're not looking for a recession, so we're sticking with a neutral exposure on our asset allocation. Now, we always are.
Tell me what a neutral.
We believe in diversification.
Tell me what a neutral allocation is. You mean between growth and value and small caps, or
all of those things? We when you sit down and you hopefully you have a really good financial advisor, and you sit down and you do a plan for yourself, a long term plan, and you decide, hey, I've got 30 years to retirement or 20. I'm comfortable with a 70-30 mix. That's job one. What's my overall risk appetite is what we call that. I'm comfortable with 70-30.
So 70% equities, 30% bonds.
Yep, and that means I'm comfortable with that in the good years and the bad years. I'm comfortable with it when markets are going up. Everybody is. But I'm also comfortable with what that's going to look like when the markets are choppy like they were yesterday. You have to make sure you know that you're at the right spot for yourself and your long-term goals. And then you have an asset allocation. I'm just pulling a number out, 70% equities, 30% fixed income, and inside equities. We do believe that diversification is definitely called for. So we have an allocation to international. We have an allocation to small cap and mid cap and international within equities. I will tell you this. We're neutral on equities. So wherever our clients are, if they're at 60, we have them at 60. If they want to be 80, they're definitely at 80. They're not at 85. But within that, we did decide with some of the uncertainty that's coming our way, with this tariff stuff that's probably coming our way, possible trade war coming our way, we did decide to peel back on our international exposure a little bit. So we're below target on international. We're overweight domestic inside a neutral equity allocation. Does that make sense?
I think so. Hey, what about emerging markets? Is that in the quotient at all?
Yep.
One of the countries that came through smelling like a rose, evidently, is Argentina. They're back growing again.
You can't make some of it up. You can't, and it's very hard to predict where the next one of those shoes is going to drop or where the worm's going to turn. We do keep what we call a strategic. For us, means a long term. We keep a strategic allocation to emerging markets. Now, we don't have a large one, but we have a small target, 2-3% in emerging markets all the time, because diversification, it doesn't always pay, but over long periods of time, we think it's wise to have exposure to all the different corners of the market. And so for us right now, we're keeping neutral exposure to stocks and bonds, but we pulled back a bit on that international, including we pulled back our emerging markets a little bit because we could have a trade war coming our way.
So you said that, which really begs the question. So what are the hot buttons? What do we watch for to run for the hills? Is it a full blown trade war? Is it geopolitical tensions, supply chain disruptions? What would keep you awake at night?
What keeps me awake at night? All of the above and then some. It's my job to be awake at night. So what keeps me awake at night is probably not what hopefully doesn't keep anybody else awake at night. I stay
what
awake
should
at
keep
night
me awake at night?
Well, I tell you what, you want to be cautious. The way we look at it is the bar for running for the hills, the bar for we're going to take 10% out of our equity portfolio or 20. I mean, a huge underweight to risk. We say the bar for that should be high to making that decision. The bar for making that decision should be relatively high because if you look at anybody's data over the last, whatever, pick a period, 30, 50, 70 years, the economy and the markets 85% of the time are growing and expanding. So most of the time you want to be fully allocated to your risk buckets. You only want to get underweight those when you have a relatively high conviction that we're heading into a prolonged economic downturn. So that's what we're on the lookout for. What would come our way and say, listen, we're not just going to have a little slowdown. We're going to have an actual recession that's going to be severe. That's what you want to be on the lookout for. There's 475 PhDs at the Fed. They don't have a very good track record of forecasting recessions. They have 475 more PhDs than I have. And it's a difficult thing, but that's what my team is always on the lookout for. Yeah. What are the leading indicators that we're tipping into an actual recession? That's when we would pull back on risk. We don't see that right now. And so we see turbulence, and we know it's going to be turbulent, but we're not ready to run for the hills. Running for the hills should be rare. It should be a rare occurrence.
You know, I think it'd be interesting to see after Doge and Elon Musk and Ramaswamy, if there's still 475 economists at the Fed. They say, well, you may be able to do the job with 125. We'll see.
If you're going from an efficiency conversation like they're in charge of, maybe 475 isn't the right number, but I didn't say that.
What, there is a lie that said if you take all of the economists in the world and laid them end to end, they still would not reach a conclusion. Eric Kelly is the chief investment officer for UMB Bank. We enjoyed the time. Thank you very much. We wish you the same 25 as we had in 2024.
I hope so. Thanks a lot, David.
Thanks. For more of a conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.